everyone. So glad you are here tonight. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs 22. And be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. Proverbs 22. When I put this outline together and I had the amount of verses that required a fold, I knew the question was going to come, does that mean a longer message? Not necessarily.
Notice I said that. I didn't commit either way. But the point is Proverbs touches on the subject of seeking advice and counsel often throughout the book. And those verses are there for your usual. I have tried to go through the work and put them together to give a composite, cohesive message on what it means to seek, receive, and give in giving of counsel that I have entitled. Now, I ask you to go to Proverbs 22 because in that chapter, verses 17 to 21, we have several verses connected together on this topic. I thought it would be a great starting point, not intending to do an exposition, because if I only knocked into those verses, I would miss all the other information that Proverbs gives on the topic. Follow along in verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. I have not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge. Excuse me, have I not written to you excellent things of counsel and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you be with us tonight. Father, each and every one of us struggle with the pride of learning from others, whether it's in all of life or certain areas. May we be people always seeking wisdom and advice and counsel, not only how to live, but how to live in a way that brings the best and blessed results for your glory and the good of others. We, without no doubt, will be blessed in the end. Over and over, you have assured us by living a life of wisdom, there is built within it its own rewards. Good people by good choices will live the fruit of those choices. Those who are wicked and make wicked choices will bear the brunt of those choices alone and those around them. But Lord, we come to a very practical aspect of your word that we learned earlier in the book, that wisdom is always crying out, always calling. Question is, are we listening and heeding, and then take it another step farther, seeking it where it can be found? The Lord help it to be people who long to seek wisdom in all areas of life for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. By way of introduction, with God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need for guidance in this life. God also had chosen to use godly people to help us to know and understand His will. Proverbs exhorts it to seek good and godly counsel and warns it against seeking bad and unwise advice. This involves who we seek, listen to, and receive counsel from, and addresses our teachableness in the times of rebuke and instruction. In point number one, I'm putting together the wise and the foolish counsel in Proverbs. In chapter 12, verse 5, it said that the thought of the righteous are right. The counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 21, 30, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. So in putting those three verses together, we need to understand there are people who have saturated their life with this word to answer. Though it says in the verse, the thought of the righteous are right, it doesn't mean it's perfect. They want to fear the Lord. They want to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord. They have dedicated their life to serving the Lord, knowing the will of the Lord, and developing discernment and having wisdom in this life, and taking that knowledge and putting it into life and application. But the fool, on the other hand, is different. They are a sort and in of themselves. That's why it said a fool, the way of a fool is right in his own eye. He thinks everything he does is right, doesn't matter what he does. Why? Because it's him. It's them. They think they're right. Everybody else is wrong. Even though you got the collective wisdom of everybody else saying you are on the wrong path, you're doing the wrong thing, they're not listening because they're right in their own eyes. That is a very, very sad position to be in, because that is the height of self-deception. When you cannot see the error of your own way, even when multiple people come and show you. But we need to also understand, when it comes to advice and counsel and instruction and guidance and wisdom, not all things are equal. Just because somebody sends it doesn't mean it's right. But at the end of the day, the reason why I put the third verse is in there, that is the fact that all wisdom that flows from the Lord is right. Any wisdom outside of that or opposes that is wrong. And the only way you can come to know that is knowing the Word of God and the will of God in His Holy Scripture. That's why it says in 21:30, there is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. Sure, there'll be people who will articulate wicked schemes and plans, advice, instruction, and guidance, but it will never, at the end of the day, trump God's sovereignty and His providence. He will accomplish what He has set out to do. It is the height of folly to challenge that. In our study here, there are six Hebrew words that are used for giving counsel and advice, and they are used 68 times in the book of Proverbs. They come across as words such as advice and counsel. Some come in many ways, like instruction, to correct, advice, rebuke, correction, argument, debate, direction, guidance, to reason with you, and to reprove. One word was used, I believe it was 16 times, was a word that was used for a searing pilot, meaning you got a ship, and the one who's at the wheel is the one who is steering the direction of the ship. That's what counsel and advice it is. They are acting like giving you instruction so you know how to steer your life. Advice and counsel comes from all areas of life, from all different groups of people, such as parents, family members, friends, neighbors, teachers, relatives, co-workers, bosses, etc. There's no end. There's always somebody giving you advice. Whether you want it or not, whether you ask for it or not, people are quick and ready to give you what they think you need to be doing. At the end of the day, that's why it's important that we understand the most important point of reference to work from is Proverbs 1 verse 7, fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God and you want to please Him with your life, then you will only want to seek and listen and heed the advice that's consistent with that verse. I have always saw this theme, so it made so much sense to me, because as an athlete, I had one goal, to be the best I can be for my team. I didn't care what I had to do. I would ask anybody and everybody, how do I get better in this? How do I sharpen this skill? How do I develop this talent and this skill and this so I can be a better instrument for the sake of the team? And yet, not all teammates had that goal. They're just having a jolly good time. They just want to be able to get out of school early. They wanted whatever, whatever. Not me. I want to be the best I can be. So therefore, I wanted to get all the advice I can get. That should translate also into Christian life. Be the best we can be for His glory. We all need advice and instruction and correction in this life. Why? Because Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Everybody born into this world, your default position is folly and foolishness in your heart. You have to go from the day one with the, by God's grace, you've been given Christian parent that will instruct you in the way of the Lord. They'll help you to get rid of that folly and foolishness that bound up in your heart from the day you were born. There's always people out there suggesting the best course of action or right way and decision to take. All advice and instruction and counsel will come from the worldview of the counselor to what they perceive is right. If you have a godly, biblical fear of the Lord, point of reference and worldview, you can have trust with more consistency the advice and counsel that comes from such people. But it never negates your responsibility to know the Word, to make sure what they're saying is in tune with this book. Just because there are people who profess to be Christians and religious doesn't mean they give good advice consistent with Scripture. So you have to bear that in mind. Proverbs even warned us of that in Proverbs 14, verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. Why? Because a scoffer's worldview by nature scoff at anything that is good, right, holy, and godly. Therefore, they can't accept, will not embrace anything that in their mind is foolish. They're seeking it, they want it, they're trying to get it, but by their worldview and presupposition, they're saying, no, that's stupid, that's dumb. Their point of reference is skewed and messed up. But, to finish the verse, knowledge is easy to him who understands. Not under the premise that this is the person who lived by chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Not all advice is right. Some are wrong, some disastrous, others plain wicked, and yet they're given a counsel on what to do. Proverbs 16:22 says this. At the end of the verse, it said, but correction of fools is folly. Think about it. When a fool comes to you and tried to correct you and say, you know, that's wrong, you need to do this, they got it backwards. So when they begin to correct you, the Bible makes it clear their correction is folly because their point of reference is wrong and their counsel and guidance is off the mark. It even says in chapter 14, verse 7, very important verse here. I believe it's in our lead. 14, verse 7. Says this. I'm sorry. Yeah, 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When? When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, when you're hearing some advice and it goes counterintuitive to what you know to be true, get away from that person because they're spewing out folly, stupidity, foolishness. But I like them. They're my friends. They're the wrong kind of friends. They don't meet the criteria of fearing the Lord and having friends that help you in that path. That's why, remember early on and throughout this part of Proverbs, it talked about people who are simple, naive, and undiscerning. They cannot know when somebody is misleading them because they just sap everything. Here lies the importance of discernment and wisdom. Why we're doing the book in Sunday school. Why Proverbs again and again and again, and all you're getting, pursue wisdom. When you get advice from the foolish, the wicked, and folly, that kind of advice throughout this list, you'll see their guidance and counsel is deceitful, proudful. In the end, it despises the word, scoff at what's good, right, and godly. It leads to death. They give counsel that's hasty rather than thoughtful and thought out from the right perspective. Again, Proverbs 14:12, there's the way that seemed right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Seemed right to them, makes sense to them, and that's how they follow their path. They've already years ago dismissed the wisdom call and wisdom crying out, come and gather my fruit, drink and come from my table. They dismissed that long ago. And we have to have the discernment and wisdom when we meet people along the way. It doesn't matter. Especially people we grew up with and we meet them later. You wonder what kind of well they drank from all these years. Are they rooted in the fear of the Lord? Or maybe their people just have religious jargon, but their life doesn't seem to be consistent with what they're saying. That's why we have to be careful. We all have to be careful not to trust our own wisdom. Our sinful nature had hindered our mind and perception that without God's word and wisdom, we'll always go astray. That's why you can't read the word enough. Pray and beg and ask God to open your mind and understanding enough. Proverbs 13, verse 13 and 14. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise. Now note it. The law of the wise. The people who are wise, their point of reference, their basic non-negotiable principles are laws. They are driven and guided by these principles. It says this, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. Why? Because it's rooted in the God of life. It's rooted in the words of life. It is guided and will produce joy and peace and life and tranquility and a sense of purpose and meaning. It's important that we understand that. When we see that and understand that, the law of the wise is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snare of death. Here lies the good and wise people giving good advice and correcting you when you fall off the right path. That's why the first verse I gave you in chapter 12, verse 5, the thought of the righteous are right. When you collectively put all of these verses on the positive element of good counsel, it's that their counsel, when in line with the word of the Lord, is right, It's right, it's safe, it brings peace and joy. It is considered well advised. It is a fountain of life, mercy, truth, desires good, will find good, knowledge and excellent things, wise rebuke that brings wisdom, hearty and healthy counsel. That's what good people who steep in the fear of the Lord give in the way of advice. That's why I like Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart. Who would argue with that unless you're allergic to it? We all like sweet-smelling ointment and perfume. It delights and delightful, right? It goes like this. At the end, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. Counsel that is wholesome and hearty. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Spiritual health, physical health, emotional health. Chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. They don't use it to their own advantage. They don't use it to their own end. They use knowledge rightly. But the mouth of fools poured forth foolishness. They don't care what they say. They just pour out folly and foolishness. Because that way, you know, it goes back to what our Lord said. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have folly and foolishness in your life, and that's all you can, you're just given over to vanity and for the next fun and joy, and all you're here and think the purpose of life is to make the almighty buck, to have fun, get the most toys and all that other stuff that worldly people go after. That's the lust of the flesh, eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the things of this world, not of the Lord. That's why I love Isaiah 50, verse 4. It's always been a prayer of mine for years that goes like this. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Somebody who is weary, beat down, tired, hurt, struggling. You want to have the tongue of the learned, the tongue of the wise, so you know how in a timely fashion use the right word to be a blessing to someone who is really struggling. To finish the verse, it said that he awakens me, God awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So where are you going to get the tongue of the learned? From the Lord himself. Morning after morning, getting teaching and learning from him and his word, from your devotion and fellowship with him. Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man had joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How many times have I gone into situations and many a time people say, they kind of know what I'm going into. What are you going to say? I have no idea. I have no idea because I don't have all the information. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just pray and always try to be prayed up and asking for wisdom and always wanting to have wisdom and be a sharp instrument in his hand and to be able to hear what they have to say and give them what they need to hear. And when you come away, what a blessing it is to be used in the Lord's hand. So you got people that give bad advice that will lead to disastrous results if you heed them. Just because somebody said you should do it, might be an influential, powerful person of a lot of sway and persuasion in your life. At the end of the day, you need to know the will of the Lord so you can discern whether to heed it or not. Then you have people who have godly advice, good people. Even though they give a good advice, it's not always perfect. I have another group here I lifted here. Others are given with good intention, but give you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. Be careful. Because of that, sometimes they give you bad advice instead of you hearing what you need to hear. Again, to touch briefly, there are others whose worldview is ungodly, secular, and atheistic, and they twist and distort everything, calling good evil and evil good. They will give you bad advice and correct you when you are on the right path. We must refrain from such people. That is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and true and good knowledge and information. Point number two, bring to the benefit of getting good counsel. You can't look at these verses, not pick up, okay, if I take this course of action and I seek advice from good and godly people in areas in my life, in all areas of my life, that, one of the things that kind of a frustrating thing in seeking advice, you might ask five people about something and you might get five different answers. You need discernment at the end of the day. Grab all that they have. Said, Lord, I've been given these from five wonderful people, people I have learned to trust. They love you. They're looking out for my good. But what's the best course of action? What's the most consistent with your word and will? Never hurt to ask, why do you suggest this advice? What point of reference in the word do you use? Sometimes it's opinion. Sometimes it's tradition from their own family, and that's not rooted in the Bible. But at the end of the day, we need to understand that when we heed good advice, when I use the word heed, doesn't mean you just hear it, you listen to it and apply it, it brings benefits. Just like ideas have consequences, so do good advice have good, blessed consequences. The verse that I have for that is in Proverbs 18, verse 15, the heart of the prudent acquired knowledge, the ear of the wise seek knowledge. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. It's not implying that you're not going to get it until then, but that you will throughout life to the latter day to ever be growing in wisdom and understanding. Verse 21, there are many plans in the heart, man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. You need to remember that. Though you can get good advice, though you would have the best course of action to take, at the end of the day, God disposes as he pleases, and whatever the outcome, we must be content therewith. Very important. He doesn't leave out that element. He's not staying up there and we're on our own, trying to get much information we can from each other. No, at the end of the day, God disposes as he pleases. Please understand there's only one truth, God's truth. God's wisdom, truth, and counsel will always stand. We learn it from Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who execute my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I also will do it. Isaiah 55, verse 11, so shall my word that goeth forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Even our Lord said himself in Matthew 5, 18, I say to you, until the heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. God's word will stand. That's why when you go back to the title of the message on seeking, receiving, and giving counsel, it better be all from that point of reference, God himself. Why would you get advice from somebody that would go contrary to the Word of God, and you don't have the discernment or the discretion to understand and recognize it at the moment. When God's people are steeped in the Word of the Lord and live out that Word in their life, they have much good advice, wisdom, and instruction to impart to us. Some of the benefits when you collectively learn from all this is from heeding the counsel of the ungodly, they will lead you to a life of integrity. It will lead in the way of righteousness and blamelessness, guide you to safety. You will gain wisdom. You will fear the commandments of God. You will be rewarded and blessed. You will avoid bad counsel and the snares of death. Their advice leads to life of mercy, truth, and good. Their advice will also help you to want and desire to stay in the company of the wise till you get more advice from them. One of the key elements of the getting advice from good and godly people, Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Though the idea there is if you commit your works, your life, and all that you want to do with your life to the Lord, your thoughts will be established in the fear of the Lord and in the way that pleases Him and in the path of wisdom. Brings me to point number 3. By no means is this list exhaustive, as you can tell by the sheer number of verses. And just so you know, I didn't put them all in here. I could have easily filled the other page, but I didn't want to overwhelm you or scare you. So we need to come to a practical question, the result of not seeking good advice. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Won't listen to it. They're right in their own eye. Forget it. Not going to go there. Proverbs 19, verse 27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Did you get that? When you cease listening to instruction, to counsel, to guidance, the word instruction is not simply some transfer of information. This is instruction through discipline, being chastened, corrected, and rebuked. That's the word that's used here. When you cease listening to it, heeding it, seeking for it, wanting it, craving it, praying for God to give you that, you will stray from the words of knowledge. And if you don't think you will, then you have already started the path of self-deception. Be careful. Foolishness is bound in our heart because of the simpleness of our heart. Our mind have been affected by the fall. I have used this verse, set of verses, often throughout the series, and most likely you'll hear them again. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Again and again, it comes into play here. Let me read it to you. My son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my command within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yet, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God. Why is that so vital? Next verse. For the Lord is the one who gives wisdom. You will not get wisdom anywhere else. It's not in here. Even as smart as mom and dad may be and our brothers and sisters may be here, it is not the same as the wisdom that flowed unadulterated from His Word. It is God that we must beg and ask for wisdom. 8 verbs here. Receive, treasure, incline, apply, cry out, lift up, seek, and search. Intent searching and seeking. When we fail to seek and to pursue wisdom, the fear of the Lord, we will take our path and do, we will take our own path of our own choosing, and we will do things our way on our term in the end. You might have the religious trapping, but you have let go of the fear of the Lord long ago when you didn't heed to put all of your life under the guidance of God's wisdom and word. Some of the things you see here are the result of doing that very thing, ceasing to listen to instruction. You will be destroyed spiritually. You will fall by your own choices, become unteachable, go astray. You'll have strife in your life and you'll wonder why, what's going on? Hey, I'm going to church to read my Bible. That's not the same as the fear of the Lord. I've known a lot of people, lost people, who read their Bibles more than some Christian. But they don't understand a bloody thing. That's the purpose of Proverbs. That's the value and usefulness of Proverbs, that there's more than just data information. You need to get knowledge and apply it to life for His glory, for the good of others. And built into it is the blessedness that comes from it. When you cease to seek good advice, you'll become careless in your life. You'll stray from the truth. You will not learn from chastening. God will address you and deal with you. Proverbs 15:22 said this, without counsel, plan go awry. The word awry gives the idea you get disappointed. Why? Because you're making your own plans on your own terms and your own agenda. And you're not going through the route of what saith the Lord. I am His and He is mine, and I want to do all I can to please Him. To finish the verse, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. So you're choice. You want to go awry? Your plan go amok? Or do you want to be established by seeking good advice and counsel from others? One of the distinctive marks of a fool is the fact they like to isolate and insulate themselves from others because they don't want to be told they're wrong. One of the distinctive marks of people who want to be alone and they don't intermingle because they don't have that iron sharpened iron to want to discuss this stuff in life, that means they have to admit they are wrong. If you're wrong, then that implied change. Proverbs 19:27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Some of these are repeat, but needed. Here's a good one. Proverbs 29:1, I think you've heard this one before. He who is often rebuked, hardened his neck, will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Why would you harden your heart and harden and stiff in your neck? It's because you refuse to get advice or heed the advice you're given. You're saying, no, I want to do my thing. No, I want to do it my path. No, I want to do it my way. God said, hey, in the end, I'm going to deal with you. When you get off the path, remember Proverbs 1? You got wisdom's call. You got, I have stood out and cried out, and because they are despised and rejected and ignored and dismissed, I will let them get the fruit of their own ways. Here, Proverbs 29:1, later, 29 chapters later, and it said, here, you're being often rebuked. You're being saying, hey, this is wrong, get on the path. This is wrong, get on the wisdom path, get on God's way. And they harden their neck and they stiffen up their neck. Eventually, God's going to say after a while, done. Done with you. And there will be no answer for you. No remedy. And you have no one to blame but yourself. So we have here in this the result of not seeking advice. Let me suggest the problem of rejecting good advice. There's one thing about not being proactive looking for it. Another thing is when it comes to you and somebody's giving you good advice and you don't want to listen to it. Several verses here out of Proverbs. Proverbs 10:17. I don't even think these are on the list. 10:17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Got it? Rejected it. Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't say it, the Bible did. Proverbs 13, 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. 13, verse 18, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. What is correction but a painful way or being chastened and disciplined to get back on the right path? But he who regards the rebuke will be honored. When they've been rebuked, they regarded, you're right, I'm wrong, I need to make some changes here. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I will make adjustments. But those who disdain correction will have shame. Proverbs 15, verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent, discerning. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32, the ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. So all of those verses are speaking of people who have been given good advice and rejected it. Whether they got it from parents, whether they're using, let's say, Romans chapter 13 and the purpose of government with the chaste and evil people and deal with those who have done wrong and trying to tell people to get on the right path for the sake of society and their own life. So there's a lot been said about seeking and receiving and giving counsel. By all means, let's be careful what we say to people in the way of advice. Bethlehem, if you preface, the Lord told me to tell you this. I'd rather you just give a chapter and verse than to do that. But again, I have to, in closing, say this. At the end, when all is said and done, all advice and counsel given, we must always keep in mind the sovereignty of God in all of life. Yes, you may go seeking and getting advice from good people. But we know there are times when God had other plans. And there's a purpose behind that, and we need to be there with content. The verse that I'll use is Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel that will stand. You make many plans, you may God invite, God establish, there's safety in your multitude of counsel. Yes, at the end of the day, God determines the final result. And we commit ourselves to him. Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So when we think of this, let's remember the words of James at this point. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And then he closes with these words. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. Though you might get planned, though you might get advice to go to this city and buy and sell and gain profit, and might be okay and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, if you're a child of God, you should always say, with the Latin term, Deo Volente, a lot of our forefathers who always would, they would sign their letter, or I hope to see you this winter, and they would write DV, which was short for Deo Volentia, meaning I will see you this winter, Lord willing. Lord willing. Because they were getting it right from this passage. This is the best point of reference in all of your planning and all of your going about your business for life. At the end of the day, if it's the Lord willing, I'll do this or that. And you'll commit your way into life. So as we go through life, may we always seek wisdom, be teachable when given good wisdom and advice. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Again, some wonderful words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs regarding seeking advice and counsel. God, help us to be teachable, humble enough to go out and ask others how we should proceed in areas of life. It's always good to play it safe, to take the best path, and for those who have gone before us, those who are ahead of us in not only maturity in this life and in experience in this life, but in walking with the Lord. Oh Lord, help us when people come to us for advice and wisdom and counsel. May we have the good words, true words, words that are consistent with your word, that is true to their context and their situation. Oh, Lord, how precious it is to give hearty counsel. How precious it is to give a word in due season to those who are weary and tired, beaten and burdened. Oh, Lord, help it to be a blessing. But, Lord, above all, may we always go from the point of reference to fear you all the days of our life for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name. Amen.